Church. Welcome to the Parkwood Seventh-day Adventist Church here in sunny Modesto, California. We like to welcome our visitors, our members, and our online viewers. Our mission is to show Jesus to the world now. It's what the world needs today, right? Jesus is the answer. Our announcements this morning are first reading of the transfer in of Jordan and Amy Jones from Ceres, Veronica Suderlin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I'm sorry, also from Ceres, George and Daisy Victoriano from Ceres, and Maria Vasquez from Modesto Central. Amen. I think it should be Maria and Bernardo, right? We don't leave Bernardo out. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, well, first I need to tell you that we're all excited because we know what happens today at church, after church, potluck. And we're going to continue our Thanksgiving theme because, well, why not? We're thankful, aren't we? So we have a potluck after church. It is a vegetarian potluck, and everyone is invited. December 7th is a very special Sabbath. It is a fill the baptistry Sabbath. Now, I know Pastor has mentioned this before, so, you know, I hope that we've been praying about this. And please continue to pray. If anyone has any questions or would like to be baptized, next Sabbath, the pastor will be here. So that's December 4th, and after church, if you'd like to be baptized, please meet the pastor in his office. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Our offering today is for local conference advance. Pastor, a young man said, I feel God is calling me to enter in the ministry. What should I do? The pastor replied, you need to go to college. The young man drove to the college with only enough funds to make the trip to the school. Upon arrival, he went to the admissions office and asked to enroll. The clerk at the window gave him a slip and all the paperwork to fill out and to be admitted. Then the financial officer said to him, how much money do you have for your tuition? So he reached in his pocket and pulled out a few coins. Well, just what I have here, he said. He replied, I believe God is calling me to become a pastor. The financial officer asked the young man to wait. She excused herself and made a few phone calls. Then she returned to explain, you know, just a few days ago, a donor came to the school and handed me a card. He said, if a student arrives at this school with no money but has a call from the Lord, just contact me. The young man entered the college in 1982 to become a minister of the gospel, and he's a minister today.
I really appreciate our program today from Sabbath School up to the second service. I would like to say thanks to our officers, especially our Pastor Gentile, for allowing me to preach today. This is a special Thanksgiving Day. I would like to greet all our friends abroad, especially our faithful brethren of this church, and to all of us listening to this beautiful sermon prepared, Conversion on a Tree. I would like to invite your thoughts today, pretending that we are traveling with the Lord together with His disciples, walking through that dusty road going to Jerusalem, passing by Jericho. Their arrival, my friends, was festive with seasons. Their arrival, deeper interest, because the Galilean rabbi was with the throng who brought Lazarus to life, and the great multitude was eager to pay him homage. Jericho, my dear brethren, was a great center of traffic and Roman officials and strangers from different quarters were found there. The chief among the publicans, whose name Zacchaeus, was a Jew, and he was detested by his countrymen. His rank and wealth were the reward of the calling the abhorred, and was regarded as another name for injustice and extortion. Zacchaeus must have heard the preaching of John the Baptist at Jordan, which have awakened him of the call to repentance in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3. And he was convicted and have realized that his practice was wrong. He felt that he is a great sinner in the sight of God. What he has heard of Jesus kindled hope in his heart. Repentance, hope, and reformation were possible. Now Zacchaeus began at once to follow the conviction that he had taken hold upon him in to make restitution upon those who made wrong. News surrounded through Jericho that Jesus was entering the town. He was determined to see him. He was beginning to realize how bitter are the fruits of sin. He was greatly ashamed, brethren, and felt difficult to reform and change the courses of his action to do what is right. The chief publicans longed to look upon the face of him who had brought home to his heart. The streets were crowded, and Zacchaeus, who was a very small in stature, could see nothing over the heads of the people, and tried to see him, that he would like to go through, but he could not, and none would give way to him. So running a little while in advance of the multitude to where a branching sycamore hung over the way, the rich tax collector climbed to the street to the seat among the boughs. When she could survey the procession as it passed, the crowd comes near, and it is going by. And Zacchaeus comes with eager eyes to discern one figure he longs to see. Amidst the clamor of the priests and rabbis and shouts of welcome from the multitude, suddenly just beneath the sycamore tree, a group halts. The company before and behind come to a standstill. And one looks upward, whose glance seems to hit the soul. Almost doubting his senses, the man on the tree hear his words. This is where I get the title of my sermon. Just try to imagine that he was already sitting on a bough. Here comes a standstill, and the multitudes, as I have spoken, were amazed what will happen to Zacchaeus, to Jesus, and what will happen to that in that situation. And the Lord God said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. As it was in a dream, he leads the way toward his own home. But the rabbis look on with scowling faces and murmur in discontent and scorn that he was gone to be with the guest of the man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus had been overwhelmed and amazed, and silenced at the love and condescension of Christ, and stooping to him, so unworthy now love and loyalty to his new found master, unsealed his lips. In the presence of the multitude, he stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken out anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house? John 19, verse 9. You could just imagine, my dear brethren, when Zacchaeus was sitting there and Jesus was underneath the branch, there was a constant communication between the mind and the mind of Jesus. These 15 billion of brain cells was conglomerated, and he was looking at the Lord, and the Lord was reading the mind of Zacchaeus. There was a sudden conversion in that situation between Zacchaeus and his communication between the Lord. He doesn't care what people will be talking about him, because Zacchaeus would like to change his way. He would like to repent because of the sins that he have realized during his ministry of collecting money from the people in that city of Jerusalem. And this money, my friends and brethren, that Zacchaeus have collected will be used in order to destroy the ministry of the Lord, because those people doesn't want that the ministry of Christ will reach to the mind and feelings of people in order for them to be converted. This day, God said, salvation is come, has come to this house. The parable of salvation, my dear brethren, and the life of Zacchaeus reaches deep into the soul, comes from God alone. John 3, verses 3 up to 5. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The experience of justification involves repentance, confession, forgiveness, and sanctification. When a person is justified, it means that attitude of justification comes not from his working, nor his ability to consider himself a righteous man, but justification comes from the Lord. It is a free gift. It comes from the Lord. It will be given to a person or to a man who must have realized and repented of his sin. Repentance comes from the word nakam. To be sorry, to repent, to change one's mind, to feel remorse. When a certain person repented of his sins, it means that he has turned away, about face, and continue on living under the direction and the guidance of the Lord. Genuine repentance results in a radical change in attitude towards God and sin. God's Spirit convicts those who receive Him of the seriousness of sin by bringing to Him a sense of God's presence and a sense of God's righteousness in their lost condition. That person will come to realize, that person will come to recognize, that person will feel that remorseful attitude towards sin, and he will come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and live a righteous and a sanctified life. They experience sorrows and guilt, recognizing the truth. He who covers a sin will not prosper, but whosoever confess it and forsake them will have mercy. Kindly flash that text from Proverbs 28, verse 13. This is what happened with Zacchaeus. I could still remember my experience while I was in high school. I come from a not full-fledged Adventist. It was only my mother who was converted. My father was baptized 15 years later. We are 11 in the family. And try to imagine, my dear brethren, how could my parents manage to feed his children and to give them comfort, and to give them what they need day by day. So I experienced, and I joined some of those worldly friends, influenced by their vices and attitude, and I turned out to be a prodigal boy. My mother sent me to the academy, and I was there in that academy, not recognizing who were my friends and what will happen to me during my stay in that academy. Week of prayer was scheduled, and a minister was sent to give the preaching and to give Bible studies. 29, including myself, in attendance to attend the Bible study of that pastor. But you know what, my dear brethren? I don't show interest. The 28 of them were listening to the pastor while here at the back, I'm sitting, doing nothing, just closing my ears to the preaching and to the counsel of that pastor. Scheduled baptism on that Sabbath afternoon. The 28 were lining, and I was left alone in that auditorium. I am standing there, my friends and brethren, thinking about myself. I said to myself, what am I? Am I a great sinner? The Spirit of the Lord must have entered my mind. Go back to your apartment. Gather all those weapons and surrender it to the minister and be baptized. That was the turning point of my life. I weigh down the water. I come close to the pastor and I surrender a package full of weapons to the pastor. I said, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Right at that very moment, the pastor was looking to me, and he threw all those weapons, and I was baptized, and I became a minister. All over the world, there are men and women who are looking wistfully towards heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Spirit of God. There are many who are in the verge of the kingdom, waiting to be gathered in. I could imagine the situation of Zacchaeus, a man who was considered as a sinner, a man who was considered as an extortioner, a man who was recognized and detested by his fellow men as a man of sin. Zacchaeus, convicted by the Spirit of God, despised and mourned for his sin and pleaded for purity. He said, Lord, I acknowledge my sin, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I done this evil in your sight. In Psalms 51, verses 3 and 10. There was a motivation, my friends. Motivation for repentance. His heart was melted and subdued when he sensed that senses that Christ's death justifies and delivers him from the penalty of death. The basis of this justification is not our obedience, but Christ For through one man's righteous act, the free gift comes to all men, resulting in justification of life. As repentant sinner Zacchaeus experienced full and complete pardon, he was reconciled to God. He said, Lord, if I have injured others through my unjust business transaction, if I have overreached in trade or defraud anyone, I am willing to restitute fourfold. Just imagine when a person is converted. When a person is converted, there is what we call a complete change. I could still remember my good friend Richard. He keeps on coming to this church. He realized the fellowship and friendship of this church. And he said, Pastor, please keep on praying for me. When a person is converted, my friends, there is what we call a radical change in his life. If he is used to do sinning, if he is used to do things that are in contrary with the will of God, now he is a converted and a new man. My dearest brethren, the righteousness by which we are sanctified is imparted. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, in 1 Corinthians 6:11. You are now sanctified and purified and justified by the power of God. He became a saint at the point the new believer is redeemed and belongs fully to God. He has made them his heirs, joint heirs of Christ, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 up to 17. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The Lord will come very soon, my friends. 2 years of suffering, 2 years of feeling guilty, 2 years of being shunned from each other, 2 years of suffering that we are not allowed to enter a certain restaurant or any facility because of COVID. But thanks God, thanks be to God, because we are alive and we are here in the presence of the Lord today. The Lord will come very soon. The Lord will bring us all to heaven. The Lord will lead us in order to receive salvation, as did Zacchaeus of old. The great controversy is over. When sin and sinners are no more, when this entire universe is clean, one pulse beats to the vast creation from him who created all flow life and light throughout the realms of illimitable space, from the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things animate and inanimate in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy proclaims that God is love. There soon appears in the east, where is your east? There soon appears in the east a small black cloud, like half the size of the man's hand. The cloud which surrounds the Savior, of which in far distance seems shrouded with darkness. The people of God knew that it was the sign of the Son of Man. As it draws nearer to earth, it becomes more brighter and more glorious. The firmament seems filled with radiant voice and radiant form. In that cloud, the rainbow of his covenant. And right in that cloud, seated, God holding the scepter, telling the people, telling all the earth that he will come soon, followed by myriads of angels, the celestial melodies, the holy angels singing, and followed by the vast unnumbered throng, attend him on his way. On his chest and thigh, the word written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus has come during that moment when the scheduled time is set for his people. I am appealing to each one of us today. Let us all be faithful. Let us all stand firm. Let us all be true to our living, faithful, and a wonderful God. This world, my dear brethren, will come to an end. And I am hoping and praying that all of us will be there under the tree of life, waiting and singing with the angels of the Lord, singing praises and see and meet all the members of our family. Now is the time, my friends, for God's people to show themselves true to principles. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, to gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and unity from their treason, to stand in defense of truth when the majority forsake us, and to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are only few. May these messages will be inculcated in our mind, in our hearts today, as we listen to the beautiful music, that will be rendered to us by my dear grandkids.